Welcome to By the Numbers. Tyson Banker with you here. Bench Clear Media. Remember, follow me at numbers_behind. I just want to get in my MLB rookie report post-All-Star break. Kind of waited for the trade stuff to calm down quite a bit. And I want to squeeze this in before football really picks up. We'll have to be doing a football rookie report. And again, I'm going to tackle basketball with Ty is on the go as well. Don't forget to check out Chasing Cardboard. Again, that's a TV series through Bench Clear Media that Ty has been a big part of. We all kind of little character roles. It's been a lot of fun. Make sure you check those out. Ty's got a show about every week on Mondays. Usually it's the release date, but make sure to check those out. It's an awesome show. But again, you know, I haven't had a chance to talk with my man, Rob Kent, as much as usual about baseball. So I had to bring him on for the rookie report because him and I love to chat baseball and we're long overdue. But I'm glad you've taken a break. It sounds like you've been doing some good R&R to kind of get yourself reset and re-motivated when it comes to, I don't want to say cards, but maybe just baseball or just hobbies or just life, because I think you kind of felt the same way I felt at times where it can definitely consume you. But how have you been? How are things going for you, Rob?
Really good. Yeah, really good. Thanks. Really relaxing. Actually, I didn't mention to you, we opened this Discord channel after the show ended, and there's a guy in there who approached me, and he has been setting up this incredible ISOBP database that goes, you know, back historically and forward and has everything pulled automatically. And it has sort of rekindled or resurrected, I should say, one of the what I thought was the coolest things to come from the show. So, yeah, I forgot to mention that to you. So that's been really neat. I've been working with him. I mean, he's been doing everything, to be honest. I've just been watching.
Right.
I'm not good with that stuff, but it's really exciting. So we might, the flagship baseball card something might come back in some form to share that with the world, because it's really, really cool what he's been doing.
Yeah. Well, when you do the in-depth type of data and the different research you do, it's time consuming. So, I mean,
it really is.
While it's fun, it does add up over time. So it's good to kind of just come in, your pick your battles. That's right. Just pick your battles and go with it as it comes. But
totally.
Had to talk baseball with you. Missed you.
Missed you too, man.
So keep all these things going here. But, you know, this is a staple of mine, is doing these rookie reports. I think it's fun to look at the data and look where things are going. Baseball is, it's kind of big right now. I feel like a lot of eyes are on baseball. We have some young stars that really been playing well. A lot of things are kind of on the go with Julio and Bobby Witt and, you know, Torque getting sent down. So it's definitely a different year in baseball as the market continues to creep down. So we still have to really pay attention to that, just kind of see where we're at. And that's why I like you doing these checkpoints. So we're going to dive into that. We're going to have four kind of questions at the end. We're just going to kind of spitfire those and just chat a little baseball, and then we'll get out of here. But I did want to start with is this small group here of risers to start the year. This grid was really hard for me to fit on the page here. So if you're listening to my podcast, this show is built for YouTube. I have a lot of charts here with the money and how much everything's worth and what the pops are for these guys. So when we work through these, we will be kind of reading off a chart. But if you are listening to the podcast, we'll do our best to kind of illustrate how these guys are doing. So there was only seven guys, and the last guy got cut off there. I wasn't able to fix it before the show here. But there is seven guys that have gained value or been pretty close to even value since preseason. I'll just read those seven guys to start. Aaron Judge, no surprise. Paul Goldschmidt, Otani, Machado, Trey Turner, Devers, and then Alonso also has a little bit of a bump as well. Of these kind of seven guys, is any of them surprising to you, Rob? They kind of still held fast or gained a bit?
Not surprising, I wouldn't say. Ultimately, I suppose Otani surprises me a little bit. He's the one sort of outlier to me in this list, because this list is all guys who, you know, did things that were unexpected of them,
right,
this year, right? They, I guess Trey Turner, not so much either, but, you know, they went into the season with an expectation of them being them, and this season they've been completely different, right? For a number of different reasons. So, whereas Otani has actually been probably lesser than what was expected of him, based on last year. So that's the only one that really surprises me, I would say.
Right. Devers, Machado, Goldschmidt, and Judge are all top 11 in WAR earnings so far this year. I mean, right. So, man, that makes sense, right? They're playing great baseball. Yeah. I mean, Judge's numbers are ridiculous. I don't want to say they're not sustainable in terms of him, but this is a hot year. I just don't think there's any way this will be repeated for him. But it is a monster year, and the Yankees are crushing it, which is also helping. So big market, totally. Big numbers, big player. I mean, it makes total sense why he's the biggest one for sure. Yeah. Goldschmidt, you were really high on preseason. He obviously has been awesome as well. He's third overall in WAR right now. Like he has passed the Hall of Fame, gets getting kind of stronger and stronger, if not locked in. You've mentioned before. So that's also kind of been a nice slow gain to see that. You know, the Ohtani one, I still want to look at kind of reworking this rookie report when we come into next year. I really liked your advice in terms of Ohtani. Maybe that's not his best rookie card even. Maybe that Bowman one is, which I agree. Or, you know, which guys we want to go Topps Chrome? Should we upgrade to gold? Because base has been really hard to kind of value going forward. Yeah. I think those are all conversations to kind of get to. But with Ohtani, I was surprised that his Series 2 paper actually had any gains at all, to be honest. Angels are doing angel things. You know, you see on the ticker, Angels hit 7 homers and lose to the A's. You're like, what?
Yeah, 8-7. You know?
It's like, I don't know how they do it. They have the most amazing numbers as a team and two top, like, just talented players, and they can't put it together.
Yeah.
So just really interesting there.
I did see something about Ohtani's rookie cards that I found interesting. Filmington Phil, he just said it in like a passing thing on one of his Instagram posts that the Ohtani Bowman pitching card was now seemingly the hobby's darling for his. And I thought it was the hitting card, but if you do the math and look at it, it's definitely the pitching card. The Bowman pitching card has taken over as his big card, his big wow. rookie card.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. He's such a dynamic pitcher too. It's really hard to kind of pick one for me in terms of what I like better about him. But, Machado's kind of been that same, playing really great, not a fan favorite. So he's kind of always going to be relatively low. Devers has been solid. Alonso's kind of had a fringe MVP year. He's that last one off the list there. He had about a 10% bump as well. But you guys know his pop is massive in that 2019 Series 2. Overall, I think Trey Turner, I'm kind of surprised that people are still like giving him a bump because he's just kind of the same at this point. I liked him a lot 2 years ago, but the same keeps coming. And he's playing good this year for the Dodgers. They have a great chance to win it. That could help him. But I still think Trey Turner's a bit – someone's not gonna have much long-term value in my mind.
No.
So, all right.
Let's, I did want to mention one quick thing about Judge, if I could. This was one of the things that this new data set unearthed for us. We were sort of looking at him to see like if this could tell us if Aaron Judge was lucky, whether he was playing over his head, whether there was, you know, what the chances of him actually hitting, you know, 62 homers this year or even 74, whatever it is. And what came out was super interesting. So in the beginning of Aaron Judge's career in 2017, when he hit, what was it, like 52 homers or whatever, and he was just going to be the next big thing, he hit right-handed pitching better than left-handed pitching. And then that changed. 2018, 19, 20 was reversed. In 2021, he flipped back, and he started hitting right-handed hitters really well again. And in 2021, he's again hitting them he's hitting right-handed pitchers better than left-handed pitchers again. And this seems to be like the key to him being a monster. And you can actually see that trend. It's like this graph that sort of goes like this and then back up coming into 2021. So I actually am pretty convinced at this point that it's not a mirage and that he's not going to slow down.
Yeah.
He has changed something in his approach to the plate, and he's hitting the harder side to hit for him, right? He's a right-handed hitter, and he's hitting righties now better than lefties, which is a remarkable skill. It's really, really rare in baseball. So, I just wanted to add that because I think a lot of people are waiting for him to slow down, and I don't think he's going to.
Yeah, this year I don't think he is. I'm kind of thinking like free agency, change of scenery, all those things happen to him. We could see a different in terms of his hobby market.
Yeah.
But I mean, 60 home runs is possible. We haven't seen that in a long time. So I think that's something that look forward to. And if he does hit a number like 60 and the Yankees are have a successful postseason, I really see his cards continue to climb.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll start from 20 to 16 here. So just working our way up. Again, I'm taking PSA 10 values. The card you can see is in the product line there. I also have the plus or minus percentage from the preseason value that was pulled. Pop report and how much has gained in the pop since preseason. And then also Rob helped me out with a current market cap column, and we have how much the market cap has gained or lost. So again, the market cap is just the total money into those cards based on the grade. So that's kind of just the overall idea of market cap, kind of give you an idea of what their total is worth based on the population. Just kind of working the list. So we have Acuna's at 20, Altuve's at 19, Vlad, which we'll definitely talk about, at 18, Lindor at 17, and Rizzo still hanging around at 16. That would be 110 for Rizzo, 100 for Lindor, 100 for Vlad, Altuve 90, and Acuna 80. All five of these guys are down, with Vlad being the massive drop of 56% drop. Yeah. Let's talk about Vlad first. I think that's the one that everyone wants to know about. What are your thoughts on Vlad? I know you and I were both, I think maybe you bigger than me, but both thought Vlad was just getting ready that trajectory to climb to one of those next big superstars. What's going on with Vlad? Why is it dropping so much?
Well, I mean, it's this super interesting one because, you know, when I've been always into like really advanced stats and, you know, getting really digging deep into things, and it seems like the market actually behaves as though they're watching those things too. And I know they're not, but that's what it looks like. If you look at Vladdy this year, he has more WAR than Juan Soto does.
Right.
Juan Soto's cards are going up. Vladdy's cards are, I mean, to say they're going down is almost absurd. They're like, I don't know what they're doing. They're cratering. And my hypothesis with Vladdy has always been that, you know, he came out of the minors as he's going to be the next big thing. And then his barrel rate and launch angle were just brutal, like terrible, like nobody can hit a ball with those numbers. And then he changed that. And as soon as he changed that, the hobby just piled in. And again, it's like surprising to me that the hobby is watching launch angle or barrel percentage or whatever, but I don't know what else to say about it. So they piled in, the card, you know, went on a huge run, just like it tripled or quadrupled at some point in time what was it, 2021, I guess. And now, if you look at what's going on, Vladdy's not having a terrible year, right? And like I said, he's putting up, you know, ultimately in terms of value, better numbers than Juan Soto is. But his barrel percentage and his launch angle are not quite back to where they were, but way down from last year. And if you look at his prices, I don't know where to come up with another argument as to why this is happening, except that according to those numbers, you know, if he doesn't have a good barrel percentage, if he doesn't have a high launch angle, he's just not an exceptional hitter, and he doesn't have them. So I think as long as those numbers are as low as they are, they're quite low, 4% lower than last year in terms of barrel percentage, which is really, that's a lot.
Right.
He's not going anywhere. And I don't know if it's people, you know, the reaction is a little bit bigger because he's on a Canadian team, or maybe also, you know, the Jays were expected to really contend this year, and, you know, they're there, but they're not the behemoth that people expected them to be at all. So I think that's probably a disappointment too. I don't know where else to put, you know, the responsibility for that crazy drop. Do you have any ideas as to why it's so big?
Yeah, and it's going to be part of one of our four-pack questions, but I still want to talk about it because it's really important, is that I fell on the same thing as you. 4% drop in barrel rate, that's substantial. That's pretty big. It's a pretty big drop. You know, the questions of Buffalo last year and different things for his power, I think, is an underlying thing. I know that's just more of a – there's no proof in that pudding. It's just more of an idea. But his home run total is a concern. I think with Vlad, people want to see monster home runs from Vlad. He's a big dude. They expect him to hit a lot of home runs, and he has half the home runs are Judge right now. And so I think, to me, it's just his power output is not to where the hobby wants it to be for him. And I think that's what they want to see. If you're not going to steal bases, if you are not going to be an athlete, you better be crushing the ball over the fence. And he's just not doing that right now. I think that's the only way, you know, that's why Alonso, that's how Judge is getting the love right now. I think to me, it's just the power output is the problem.
It's funny though, because like he's going to hit 30 home runs, right? That used to be when I was a kid. If you hit 30 home runs, that was a big deal, you know. Obviously, he's not going to steal 30 bases, but he looks like he's, you know, very likely to hit around 300, which is, you know, another one of the big traditional metrics. He's going to have a slugging percentage well over 500, OBP probably in the 370 sort of range, which is, you know, and you know how much I care about OBP, but in terms of traditional OBP numbers, that's pretty good. Like I don't know. It's his populations are quite low for that card. You know, look at the market cap on that, 462,000 compared to Ronald Acuña Jr.'s four times that.
No, I know. And like, that thing I don't understand is that he still has a great pop. Like his pop is really nice. So that's one thing I understand. I just think that he was 48. He was a fringe 50 home run hitter. I think, sure, 30 solid, but they don't want solid. They want him to be in the 40, 45, if yeah, not higher fair. Range. That's the only thing. I mean, again, that's just my take on what I think with that. But, you know, Rizzo, we'll talk about Rizzo is kind of going to be just right there all the time. He's going to be a solid player. He's in the Yankees. He's had a pretty good year for him, but nothing great. I think his just pops just so low. That's why his market cap's so low.
Yeah.
Altuve, he's just hanging around because he's a good player. I mean, we can hate him all we want, but he's a good player.
Yeah.
I got to go and, you know, see my only Mariners game for the year when I made it to the States. And first pitch of the game was a home run for Altuve off of Robbie Ray. Julio right. didn't play. So I got all the great fixings for the game I wanted to see, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Lindor is kind of, you know, he's kind of a mirage a bit. He's just a lot of homer or bust for him. His profile has definitely changed, I feel like, over the last year or two.
Yeah.
You know, his K rate's high. He is hitting home runs. He is driving in runs for the Mets in a winning team. So people feel like he's playing well, but I do think he's a bit of a mirage in terms of, I think he could be a bit lower still. I know it, like, I think preseason I saw some potential growth, and he is hitting homers. I thought he would grow a bit more, but I just don't like how much he's striking out. It's not really Lindor style. So
he's got 4.7 WAR. He's been totally off my radar, to be very honest. I didn't. Yeah. Wow, interesting. I have to look closer.
Yeah, I think
into
it's
that.
Kind of his home runs.
19 homers. Yeah, he'll pass last year's total with one more.
Right, and so I think that's what's different for him. But like I said, he's, you know, he has a 19.7 K rate, so it's actually gotten a little bit better, but 9.4 walk rate, 301 BABIP, batting 270. So he's actually picked it up a little bit over the past, I don't know, a little bit. It's because it was much worse than about 3 weeks ago, I feel like.
Okay.
But all right. Anything else on these five?
I mean, Acuna is the only one that I get asked still. People send me messages about Acuna all the time still. And I mean, I think, you know, injuries is the only issue here. His performance this year is you know, we talked about it on the show and said he was going to be down in power. He is. He's stealing bases like crazy. He's doing everything else really well. His power is just down, and that's exactly what you'd expect. It seems like a massive opportunity to buy low on Acuna, but you know, as Chris mentioned on the show a number of times, it's like the way he plays, and you know, with this sort of injury thing going on, that opportunity could, you know, exit stage door left very, very quickly.
Definitely. So definitely, we'll get to him and Vlad. They're part of our four pack.
Okay, sorry.
We'll get on that on the end for sure. More. All right, let's hit this next five chunk. So 11 through 15. So 11, we got Otani. 12, we have DeGrom. Keep sliding down. 13, Judge. That's his first time in the top 20. So he's got that huge jump there. Harper at 14 and Soto at 15. A little bit of stuff on the sides, a little bit wonky here. It looks like I got cut off a little bit, but I can see most of it. So Otani's at 153, DeGrom's at 151, Judge at 150. He's got a nice little clump of guys there. And then Harper at 135, and Soto at 126. All these guys are down except for Otani and Judge. So Judge is 272, almost triple his price to preseason.
That's amazing.
Which is massive. And then Otani, as we showed earlier, is up 20%. Let's talk about DeGrom. DeGrom just came back. Seems like his velocity would look pretty good. He's hitting 98 or so. Do you think there's any chance for him to rebound at all, or is he going to kind of just be a guy that kind of fades away for the rookie cards?
Do I think or do I hope? I think it's, you know, he's the best pitcher in baseball. He's the best pitcher of our, I'm going to say it, he's the best pitcher of our generation. You know, it's watching him pitch is so much fun. He is just totally dominant every single start. The only times things don't work out for him is in terms of like when his arm falls off.
Yeah.
You know, I've looked at his numbers, you know, I've compared them to everybody and all the great pitchers in baseball. He's just incredible. Can he keep doing this? I don't know. I don't, you know, everybody says no. And I'll tell you, in my opinion and experience, that when everybody says something, they're wrong. Oh. It's, you know, when everybody knows something is going to happen, it very rarely happens. So I'm going to take the over on Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah.
I have some cards of his, and I would jump it at price opportunities. I think that if he can stay healthy, I mean, there's just no touching him. He'll make the Hall of Fame. He'll win more Cy Young awards. He'll do all the things that you need to do. Yeah. He'll go down in history as one of the greatest pitchers to ever play baseball. And you know, there's so, you know, who would be betting on Aaron Judge if we bet against injuries? you know, nobody, right? So yeah, I think, like, if we're betting against injuries, there's very few players that we can pick. You can't take Otani, you know, you can't take Harper, you can't take, you know, Juan Soto's the only player in baseball that you can bet on right now.
Right.
It's like, so I think you got to pick a side, and, you know, I'm taking the chance on DeGrom. I would buy like crazy at that price if I hadn't already purchased those cards at a much higher price.
Right, definitely. Yeah. Well, we'll talk about the Juan Soto trade at the end as well. But I mean, he got a little bump. He was as low as $80 USD for his PSA 10 for a little bit, as the Nationals were just terrible. He wasn't playing very. I mean, he hasn't been playing well, I guess, just all together for him.
Yeah.
So he was hitting rock bottom. That little trade kind of gave him some juice because he's back in the spotlight. He's got potential to help a team get to World Series, even though they couldn't beat the Dodgers in their first series against them. But, you know.
No, Tatis isn't there.
Yeah, that's true. They still need that one more piece. But
yeah.
Harper, you know, he's hurt, obviously. So he's kind of just the same as he's been.
Yeah.
I'm kind of with you on DeGrom. I think if he can just come back and have a nice finish, the Mets help them with a run. And then sounds like he's going to be gone. Every indication seems like he wants to opt out. And if somebody manages him better, like just maybe and he goes every seventh day instead of fifth day, just a little bit less starts and has that 1.3 RA with the 13K per nine. Like, I think that's how to do it. So we totally can still watch him pitch and not have to worry about his workload. I think a couple, 2-3 years of that would for sure help these cards grow for sure, because we don't have to worry about him sitting out anymore.
No,
I think management for him is what I'm interested in going for. Like, what team gets him and how do they manage him?
Yeah.
So,
perfect. And there's a history of pitchers making it into the Hall of Fame without having all the counting stats, right? It's
right.
Sandy Koufax is the most famous one. He doesn't have any of the numbers that you would expect in terms of counting stats, but he just did everything. He was the guy during that period of time, right? And just dominated so fully that you know they put him in. So I think DeGrom, yeah, like you said, he just needs 2 seasons, 3 seasons, and that'll be that.
The last thing I just want to mention, and I'll anything you want to finish up with in this list, is that I still think it's kind of crazy to me that still almost 1,000 more Sotos got a 10 between now and preseason. Just the fact that they're still growing at that rate, it's just like, when do these cards go away? Like, it's just I can't believe the 894. You know, you obviously got Judge only 194, but a lot of people weren't sending Judge. Now people probably are. That'll probably pick up on the end of the season, I'm sure.
Yeah,
but Soto still getting almost 1,000 cards. 10 through preseason to now is crazy to me.
That is crazy.
All right, so let's get to 6 to 10. It's kind of the vet group for the most part, just these guys that are Hall of Fame bound for the most part, except for Mookie probably. Mookie still could, but he's just, I think, would you say Freddie Freeman's more locked into Hall of Fame than Mookie, or what would you think there?
No, I would give Mookie the advantage over Freddie Freeman.
All right, so for sure Yachty, for sure Verlander, and for sure Goldschmidt probably then for these three. But Goldschmidt's one of the biggest gainers, as we mentioned earlier, up 200%. You can see that he's got a very low pop overall. His PSA 10's at 1349, gained 49. Freddie Freeman's kind of been right about this level most of the time, right in this kind of mid 10 to 15 range when we've done the Rick reports. He's at 10 for 160. Mookie's at 8 for 175. Verlander's at 370, so it's a big jump from 8 to 7. And Yachty's at 400 still for his, obviously a lot for him, his pop. There's only 329, and he gained 39, so almost a 10% gain in his population since the beginning of the season. Who do you like in this list, or who would you like to talk about in this list?
That's a tough one. I mean, I think these the boats have sailed for these. I think the arguments, you know, really to be made sort of for Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts, whether their paths are viable. You know, obviously Mookie's younger and all he has to do is play and you know, everything will be fine. It's just a question of whether he'll be able to and whether, you know, in my sort of studying him, he has put a lot of, you know, WAR, for example, into the bank in seasons where he was very lucky, where he went, you know, overperformed his stats by a lot. And when he doesn't do that, he's an above average player, don't get me wrong, but he's not Mookie Betts. He's not the Mookie Betts that is in our minds as being sort of a legendary player.
Right.
And then Freddie Freeman, I was sort of thinking of before we got on, you know, the difference between Freddie Freeman and Paul Goldschmidt, and you'd think, you know, these are two really close players. They're really close in WAR. Freddie's actually a little bit younger than Goldschmidt, so If you say that Goldie has a path to the Hall, then Freddie should as well. But there are little things that are different about them that to me make a big difference. And you know, one of them is silver sluggers and gold gloves. Goldschmidt has a lot and Freddie doesn't. So these two players have played together their whole lives, pretty much, right? They were both, they're both a rookie year in the same year. So Goldschmidt has been winning silver sluggers and gold gloves, like, over Freddie Freeman for you know, all of this time by a significant margin. I believe it's eight. He has eight and Freddie has four or something like that. So it's like, in terms of awards and stuff like that, he has been designated as the best first baseman in the National League, many more times than Freddie Freeman has. And I do think that matters when the dust settles. They're both going to finish their careers with probably too low WAR to be sort of no-brainer first ballot Hall of Famers. And then Freddie also has this sort of, the charisma thing, that got David Ortiz in. So
yeah,
it's a tough one between the two. I right now, for me, I think Paul Goldschmidt he has a path, no question to me, at least in on some ballot, maybe not first ballot. Freddie to me is still a question. But I do think it's an interesting comparison, the two of them. And Freddie has really caught up. He's at 5 WAR this season. I haven't been watching him that much either, to be honest. Whereas Goldie is at 5.4. And, right. There was a moment where Goldschmidt was leading the league in WAR. So,
right. I think Goldschmidt's third now. Mookie has 4.6. So all these guys are playing well. You know, I do wonder sometimes, like with a guy like Freddie Freeman, unfortunately for Goldschmidt, a big chunk of his career was in Arizona. And Freddie Freeman was with the Braves and the Dodgers. So he's kind of got that bigger market appeal too, that I think can kind of, he's had more eyes on him for longer. I think that does play part. I know that in the day, the numbers is what gets you in, but if you have the numbers and the appeal, as we saw with Ortiz, you do get a bump.
For sure.
Mookie's having a great year. Looking at the market cap there, it's a little bit concerning to me. His market cap is almost all these guys added up together still on this list. He's got 641. That's still quite high for the population that he has.
And that's after a 37% drop.
I think 3,700 pop 10 is still pretty low. It's just, I just think he's still outpriced a bit. He's probably should be more in the 140 range for his PSA 10. So I'm a little bit not liking that in terms of the numbers. Verlander's going to probably stick there. Molina's going to stick there. I don't see those ones changing because those guys are who they are. And Verlander's still fun to watch. I like watching him pitch. He's still
amazing.
He's out there. He's the guy with his hard hat and his lunch pail and just ready to go.
Totally.
All right, let's get to the top five. So Mike Trout is still on top, but he saw a massive dip there. So Trout's 1, Pujols 2, Kershaw 3, Miggy 4, and Scherzer is 5. So we got 2 pitchers. Scherzer's been hanging on. Let's talk about Trout first. Obviously, he's injured again. He's got a pretty serious back issue. And you can kind of see that kind of has taken a toll on his price over the last little bit. He's down 33% from the preseason. His market cap altogether is down 31%, which doesn't sound like much, but when you look at his market cap of $10.8 million, that is a lot being in terms of numbers and money. What are your thoughts on Trout? I mean, we don't have to talk about the Hall of Fame stuff. I think that's been exhausted in terms of he's proven his talent already. But just in terms of his cards going forward, is he part of the market just coming down, or is it a lot of it altogether?
I would probably say it's both, but I think that I would be, I since coming back into collecting a couple of years ago, that card, that, iconic card has been on my list of things I've wanted just to own it, because it's, such a sort of important card in the hobby. But when I look at this at this point, when I did a study of it, what I was sort of taking a look at is like, what other players have market caps that are anywhere close to that level? And it's really hard to find them. So it's when you put modern players, people like Ricky Henderson or Ken Griffey Jr. or, guys who are considered to be, among the greatest Hall of Famers, in history and also really popular, their market caps are minuscule compared to Trout's. So it's hard to say, we're in a different world right now. Cards have changed dramatically since Ken Griffey Jr. had a card or Ricky Henderson had a card, obviously. But If market cap is the thing that you're looking at, this should terrify you if you are a Trout holder, because he is priced in terms of market cap to be top five player in history. And I think that with this new back thing, that's extremely unlikely that he gets there. You know, I don't know much about the back injury, but it sort of reads quite scary, everything I read about it. So I think you're going to see him play a lot fewer games, and you know, maybe his production is even going to go down. So right. It's just that number that scares the hell out of me. I would if I had a Trout card right now, I would be selling it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think, though, if we look at this group, like we said, is it market or play? This entire group is very similar in the sense that Pujols is not performing, Kershaw's not performing, Miggy's not performing. A lot of them are coming down with the market. You can just see that this top level is all coming down. I'd say Scherzer's performing. He was hurt, but he still is Scherzer. He's still putting out innings, and the Mets are winning. And you can see his is the least of the five and drop.
Yeah.
So I think that does play a part. So I'm with you. It's a combination of play and market, but I think a lot of these guys are kind of already as is. And so the market's just tailing them down to maybe earth a little bit more just because everybody's losing value in their cards right now.
Yeah, that's true.
So, do you have anything on the pitchers there, Scherzer or Kershaw?
Not really. I mean, we've talked about these guys. Yeah. I love Max Scherzer. I actually found a raw rookie card on Facebook a couple days ago, and I got pictures. It looks great. I'm sure it's not. I'm sure I'm going to be really disappointed when it comes, but I was really excited to get it anyway, just because I love the player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. We've talked about these five guys every time, so I think we're good to go on these guys. Just paying attention to those market cap numbers on the side there. Their populations are kind of creeping forward. You know, Mike Trout still at 171 come in as 10s. That's a pretty good chunk in terms of the market cap number when they're going for 2,000 each. Pujols only 6, obviously, of 242, but just kind of pitch those numbers in the chart. All right, let's get to four questions. We'll get out of here. All right, so number one, just kind of sticking to baseball here. Everybody's just been waiting for Topps Chrome. I kind of have. I think you and I had different philosophies on the Julio Rodriguez SP rookie. My big thing is I thought when Topps Chrome kind of came out, it might kind of distract. The money would kind of look elsewhere. There might be some opportunity to buy it then. And that might not happen for a long time now because Topps Chrome was pushed all the way back to October 30th.
That's crazy.
My kind of question is, there concerns or thoughts about that being pushed back 2 months? I'll kind of give mine first, Rob, and then you maybe kind of spin off. A couple things I don't like about it is now you're already into playoffs. You're already into, like, a lot of things are established. We'll probably know if Julio's the rookie of the year, if Witt, like, edges him out, or just there's so many variables that will be decided at that point, which I don't like with Chrome, because Chrome's kind of fun because there's still some season left.
Totally.
There's still some things that can change. I also don't like it's going to be really close to update now. So you're going to have Chrome, and you're going to have update, and then Chrome update maybe when baseball's over, just kind of like football did with Prism. Prism just came out a month and a half ago when it's in the off season.
Right.
It's just not a good feel for timing. And I know it's supply issues. I'm sure. I don't think it's like a strategic thing by Topps. At least I don't believe so.
Yeah.
But I am concerned with it being pushed back that far in terms of what it's going to do to the anticipation of it. Because at that point, to me, in October, baseball will be dying down in people's minds. Football will be hot and heavy. Basketball will be starting to pick up. So I really am nervous about October 30th for Topps Chrome in terms of what it could have been.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. That time of year is usually really, really great time of year for baseball cards, right? In terms of prices, that's when people are most engaged. And, you know, typically what happens when a product like this comes out is it sucks the money out of singles. So it's like, you know, right at a moment of the year when it's possible, I don't know what's going to happen, obviously, but it's possible that we could be getting some upward momentum in terms of, you know, the singles market and things could be, you know, hopefully creeping back to where they were. This is going to come out and then followed immediately, probably. Is update going to come out before or after at that point? I guess it'd be after.
Right.
Yeah. And then, you know, it's just going to probably derail any momentum that we get. Which is really unfortunate. I think you made some really great points in terms of, everybody, everything's going to be on the table. There's going to be no mystery in terms of, what people should be chasing in those boxes, unfortunately. Yeah, that's too bad. We just cannot catch a break this year. It's really,
I know.
It just keeps going and going. It's really unreal.
Series 2 let us down a little bit, but had the SPs, and so everybody's okay. We'll wait for the big flagship in Chrome and just keep pushing back on us. Yeah. All right. Question 2. All right, so let's talk about the Soto trade. Just any effect on him in the hobby, like with that trade in your mind? And if he leaves in San Diego in 2 years, does it matter? The only reason I kind of ask that is I think we can both agree that he didn't leave a major market in Washington. Washington's probably one of the weaker markets that there is.
Yeah.
So going to San Diego is probably better for him hobby-wise. But then if he just jumps ship for a big money deal like Machado did, like, you know, different guys have done, do you think that's going to kind of pull the perception back on him a little bit that he's just chasing dollars? Like, do you think that matters? Hobby? Because I kind of think it does a little bit sometimes. I think people get a little bit weird about guys just jumping to teams for money but not really caring about winning or the team because it's the buy-in's a little bit less. Or do you think that's just too sensitive?
That's a great question. I think it's like a bit player specific. I think like Soto is such a charismatic figure in that he comes across as being very humble usually. You know, he's not, you know, sort of constantly tapping his chest and doing all the things that you know, like Acuna, for example, does, or Tatis or whatever. So, and I thought he handled this thing really, really well. You know, he just kept saying it's out of my hands, it's out of my hands. And yeah. I think because he has Scott Boras as his agent as well, it's sort of like we all know who's pulling the strings here. And it's not Juan Soto saying, no, I'm not taking any deal under $500 million. It's Scott Boras saying, how much can I blast this market? And right. the answer is a lot, right? So he's going to exploit the situation, you know, beyond probably what we're even expecting. So I feel like the money thing isn't going to affect him that much as it would other people. But the 2 year thing, I don't think he'll stay in San Diego. It's just a feeling. And then in terms of him going there now, it's like, I think he's going to probably, you know, be in or win some World Series here with San Diego. So,
yeah.
You know, he won one with the Nats and then moves to a new team, wins one, two, or at least participates in the playoffs in some way, and then hopefully finds his forever team. Right. And yeah. I think at that point, that kind of builds to the legend of Juan Soto. It's like, this is a guy who wins World Series.
Yeah, no, that was kind of my thought process when I thought about it. I was like, how can he make this jumping around look good?
Yeah.
If he's bringing rings with him, that looks good.
Exactly.
He's already got one with the Nationals that was very a surprising Nationals championship. I don't think anybody thought they were going to win it. Yeah. And now he's in San Diego. If he can get one for them in the next year or two, and then if he jumps to Boston or New York or wherever he goes for that third stop, and then they get another one, he's got three rings with three teams. I mean, I think that's great for his hobby value.
Yeah. So. And I think whatever team that we go through the same thing again, right? Where it was like, I mean, everyone I was talking to for the week before, that's all we were talking about, was just like, where's Soto going to go? We're, you know, yeah. sharing endless tweets of this stuff. And it's sort of, and I think we're just going to go through that again. And, you know, yeah. if he ends up on a big team or a team that has like a great history, like the Cardinals or something like that, I think it'll be positive ultimately. So, yeah. And I mean, who knows, maybe San Diego will sign him, but I don't know why, but I feel like that's unlikely.
Right.
Yeah,
I think any exposure is good exposure, right? If you're talking about where you're going to go, people are talking about it, people want to know, they're excited for the opportunity, they're going to want to get your cards. That's just that's the way it's going to work.
Actually, can I ask you something about this?
Yeah.
When you see Soto in a Padres uniform, what do you feel, like just totally emotionally? What does it make you feel?
I guess for me, it's just like, that's odd. Like, I'm just like, when I see him in there, it's like, it's a weird jersey for him. He's just always been red in every card, right? Like, so for me, just always being locked into his Nationals rookie cards in red, and just that it looks weird to me from but I'm not a Padre or a National fan, so I don't have like emotional attachment to it. It's just kind of like, oh, that's weird, he's on the Padres now.
Okay. Because my big concern was before he got traded was like, I want him to go to a red team. That was just in my head, right? It was just like totally emotional. I don't care which red team, it doesn't matter to me, but I want him to go to a red team. But to be very honest, seeing him in the Padres uniform, it doesn't matter. Like, it has no effect on me. I've been like, that's still Juan Soto. So no. I feel like he has that thing, right? He transcends wherever he is. He's that good, I think. So
he's starting to become one of the players that I think the whole team thinks are relevant. He's a player that everybody wants to watch. And if that's the case, this argument's just a mute point, you know, and like to your style, his first at bat, got a walk.
Yeah, exactly. I was so happy. Four pitches too. Yeah,
good. All right, number three. So I had to do a little bit of a homer pick. I was a little disappointed I get to see Julio play when he's in Seattle. That's after he kind of jammed his wrist stealing, which I'll kind of get that to in a bit. But is he already at that like kind of Soto Acuna level? I know Soto's above Acuna right now, but I think that I like putting those two guys together because they've kind of transcended the hot hobby time of just being those guys that everybody was chasing. Is Julio in that stratosphere with those guys already or not yet?
Not yet. Okay. But I think that the all signs say that he can be, because his minor league numbers, the thing that he's missing right now is like on base skills, right? And it's the thing that, that changed with Acuna in 2020, I think it was, right? His 2018 and 19 were great, but in 2020, he switched something and his on base skills really, really improved. And that brought him to a different potential level. That was Julio Rodriguez's big skill in the minors. He wasn't a base stealer and he wasn't a big defender, you know. So in the majors now, he's hitting for power, he's an amazing defender, and he's stealing bases. And so all he has to do is get that thing back that he's already done, and, you know, get on base more. And the moment that that happens, I mean, yeah, you're they'll be the big three in baseball, you know, and unless Tatis can actually stay healthy.
Right. And I will say in terms of health, I was going to bring that up, is that you have to understand with a guy like Julio, he's bigger than Acuna, but he plays like Acuna in terms of he is going 100 miles an hour every direction all the time. And you can see that's how he jams wrists into bases. Why? Because he's just going so fast. Like these are just things that you're going to have to expect. He's going to be at more risk. I do like that he's much bigger than Acuna, so his body can probably take it better. Yeah. But you just have to realize that when you have that kind of talent, that's going to happen. The thing that just kind of stands out to me, and this is all just observation from just watching, like seeing him at the game, because he was at the game. When Mariners trying to rally, him and Logan Gilbert were the only guys up on the bench. Right. Before the game, you can tell he is the lifeline of the team. He's walking around, he's smiling, like just his, like, and the media is doing it too. They love him. Like, he is an instant fan favorite just based on his approach to the game and how much he enjoys it. Totally. And I think that is infectious for people. And I think that the hobby does have some, you know, emotional attachment to people and guys that, act that way. And I think that he definitely will ring that in for the hobby. And I think that he kind of has, I don't think Soto really does that part. Soto just plays, you know. I think he's very straightforward. If Julio can kind of get to those numbers you're talking about and have this type, he could be like a massive player in this hobby.
Oh, agreed.
And I think that, I'm just excited to see how it grows for sure. But I am excited for him, obviously being a Mariner fan. But I the tools are there. The personality is there. The work ethic's there. We'll see if it all clicks.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally agree with everything you said.
All right, last question. So we kind of already touched on this, so we can kind of just kind of streamline it a bit. But I did want to say, like, Acuna or Vlad, though, based on our conversation earlier, who are you most worried about? And I think that I kind of already know it's kind of weird. Maybe you can say neither, because I think based on our conversation, it was kind of neither. But the one thing I wanted to illustrate, which you kind of talked about, but in terms of numbers, Acuna has the worst power output he's had and the worst defensive year he's had. And his ISO is super low. And so for Acuna, to me, that, like you said, that just preaches to timing, preaches to injury, preaches to sitting out for how long he did, that he's just not back in his rhythm. Yeah. I don't think that the power is not gone. You know, I don't believe that. So to me, I, like, when I first put this question up, I was going to say I'm least worried about Acuna because we know he can bring speed. We know he can bring power and round all that stuff in. So I think I'm least worried about Acuna compared to Vlad, because Vlad has to hit 45 to 50, I think, to get the hobby's interest. But that's kind of my stance. What is your take?
I agree 100%. Yeah, I mean, Vlad is missing a skill that he has only shown in the majors for 1 year, right? And that we don't know if he can bring it back. We don't know if that was a one-off. He didn't do it in the minors, right? I mean, he didn't have that launch angle in the minors, or the barrel percentage in the minors. He was just able, sort of in the way of like Wander Franco, to just like hit everything, or even a worse example, but Luis Robert was like, is this incredibly high average, right? Which, you know, never translates from the minors to the majors, because you just can't hit the ball that much in the majors. The pitchers are too good. So he has only done this once, and you know, if you bet on it continuing, I did. You know, I think it was a reasonable bet, and if it had continued, yeah, you'd be doing really, really well. But at this point, for me, I'm looking to get out of Vladdy, to be honest.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, if you listen to the show, you know, there are many, many, many episodes where I was singing the praises of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. So that's a big thing for me. But I just don't trust that he is going to be able to consistently do this. And I have no doubt that I mean, he's 24, I think, right? And it's like, yeah. There's some, they get better until they're 27, 28, 29. Right. So we haven't seen the best of Vladdy, I don't think. Maybe we've seen the most home runs he'll ever hit, but I think he'll have one, two more amazing seasons where he looks like that guy again. But I now have my doubts that it'll be consistent. So
he's 23.
Oh, he's 23, okay.
So he's still a kid. Like, there's still a lot of time for him to really, like, figure it out and really get consistent. I think last year was a great year, great jumping off point, but until we kind of see it more consistent, I'm with you. Just kind of last to kind of close up, Rob, the one thing I just want to kind of, I think everybody's constant question on the hobby is the market. How do we enjoy this? What do we do with it? And I think in my mind, if you got into the hobby 3 years ago when things just took off and everything was worth a ton of money, it is hard to sit there and just watch all this stuff be worth peanuts. Yeah. But when we look at this rookie report, the guys that are playing insanely well are growing. Nobody else is. And so to me, I actually kind of like it a bit because everybody's not worth a ton of money. Like, if, you know, you don't right. have, everything's not projected to be amazing. You know, the Bichettes, the Roberts, the Eloy Jimenez, like all those guys who were just high dollar based on potential, that's flatlined. And I think that's kind of actually nice for us to be a little more realistic with our expectation of players going forward. And it's nice to see guys like Alonso and Judge and just kind of stay status quo or gain a ton of value because they're playing really well. And so I almost feel like the market's getting realistic, even though it's low. And, you know, of course, it wants to be a little higher, but wants to make more money. I feel like we're back in a more realistic pattern.
Yeah, no, I love where you're going with that. I thought you were going somewhere else, and then I caught the curveball was coming. I totally agree. I think it's like if you know, it's okay if you love Bo Bichette. Like, I don't, but you know, it's okay if you love him. He shouldn't cost a ton of money. If you want to own Bo Bichette cards, then the entry to get some cool Bo Bichette cards should be really low, and they are now, as they should be. You know, and I think that it can be more of a hobby at this stage. It's amazing to get cards in the mail. It's amazing to flip through your slabs. It's amazing to sub cards and get great grades and to get good at grading. And, you know, all that stuff should be really fun, and it shouldn't be so, so dangerous, I guess, financially. Right. So I think you're 100% right. And I think, you know, the guys who looked at the players like Aaron Judge, for example, or Goldie, and thought there's going to be a change here. There's something, you know, these guys have got it together. They're doing something different. They got rewarded. And that also to me is like, that's how it should be. It's, right. it's not just like you buy anything and it goes up. It requires a little bit of research and a little bit of time. You got a 300% return on Aaron Judge if you predicted that he was going to have a big year right now, you know? And I think that's amazing. I think that's so cool that somebody bought $55 Aaron Judge rookies, you know, and now they're probably going to hit $200 this year.
Right.
Like,
yeah, definitely.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Awesome. I just kind of, the game's just kind of, I think it's just leveled a bit in some ways. Yeah. And I think I kind of appreciate that part of it. It's trying to make a positive spin to everybody looking at their slabs that they thought were worth $250. They're worth $75 now. I mean,
yeah.
You know,
yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
I don't, this is totally anecdotal, but I've been sort of on Facebook recently a little bit more than normal trying to sell stuff. And seems like a new generation of collectors out there, and they are really different from the 2020, 2021 collectors. They're polite. They're reasonable. They're not sort of just constantly dropping idiotic emojis and making fun of people. And like, there's a different feel. And I would love if that was the hobby. You know, if you could post something somewhere and not be scared of the peanut gallery coming in and throwing tomatoes at you all the time. It's like, you know, it shouldn't, it's not that difficult really. Like, it's, you know, and when we treat each other well, it's just a much nicer experience. Yeah. So, you know, if you're part of that new generation out there, keep going. It's, you know, we need you guys in this hobby. It's, you know, it's so refreshing to be dealing with people in a human way, really.
Yeah, you know, doing trades, doing stuff like that.
Exactly.
I made a trade the other day, just having a conversation with a guy. You know, just I just think the hobby's, it's just leveling out. There, like, I think the pressure of getting that money, I think that stuff's just being released because people realize it's gone.
Yeah.
And I think once we kind of all get there, then we'll kind of all be okay in our spaces again and just work forward. But some people are still panicking. Some people are still struggling. And that's just the way it is. But
yeah, for sure.
All right. Love this hobby. Thanks for coming on, Rob.
My pleasure.
another rookie report down with you. I really appreciate your time and coming on and giving us your knowledge.
It's always a joy. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks, Rob.